Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
This hour of the program brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. You know how February is the short month, Houston? I realized I completely forgot to send in my mortgage payment yesterday, you know, for the first. Just swung into the Knoxville TVA, wrote them a check, handed it to them. On with my day. Right on time. No problem.
Good for you, man.
No problem. TVACreditUnion.com. Just become a member. They got you covered.
No problem.
Great customer service. It's impeccable, really. Business banking, personal banking, mortgage refi, whatever you need. Go to TVACreditUnion.com to see all their services. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out. Billy asked a really good question earlier on Twitter about the stadium capacity. We'll come back to that in a second. Just kind of globally about college football. First, let's go to the phones. We've got Roberto up next. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings and salutations from beautiful Richmond, Kentucky this morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're not in Richmond, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Richmond, Kentucky is underrated. It's a nice town.
All right.
Nice town.
Take your word for it.
Not home of the EKU Colonels.
Okay.
There you go.
Coached by your Walt Wells.
Oh, yeah.
Of University of Tennessee fame. Who was the homeboy that coached tight ends that went up there and was their head coach there for a while? He was at Tennessee for a while.
Mark Elder?
Elder. So we're 2 for 2 on placing coaches up at EKU, it sounds like. So we got that going for us.
Indeed.
Guys, optimism Tuesday, right?
Indeed.
I'm optimistic we don't have a basketball game in the middle of the week to have to talk about, so that's good.
Yeah, those guys, they're getting some rest. They're undefeated when they have the rest advantage. Going to go and wipe the floor with Florida on Sunday.
Now, Florida needs to lose tomorrow. They play tomorrow, I think. They need to lose tomorrow to make Sunday matter, right, as far as seeding.
LSU could also play a role if they lose one of those.
Okay. Let's not talk about basketball. It's Optimism Tuesday. So fair. Optimism Tuesday. Guys, I'm optimistic that Tennessee should at least win 6 games this year in football.
Mm-hmm.
And a matter of fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think you guys were kind of hitting at it yourselves. Anything under 6 wins is a pretty big disappointment in year one. For as weak as our schedule is. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm saying that today, and I agree with you. Things can change, but yeah.
Oh, sure.
Under normal circumstances, I would agree, but we're not under normal circumstances.
Well, I think it'd be a disappointment, but I don't think it's like burn it all down, Davey. I think there's a difference between those two things. I mean, like, really, like, Jeremy Pruitt not winning 9 games and a normal 12-game schedule in year 3 would have been a disappointment. If we had, you know, but he was terrible, so it didn't really. And we only played, you know, COVID, whatever.
I mean, theoretically speaking, guys, you talk about a team decimated by, transfers. You'll talk about Tennessee. We're at the top of the list, literally. But I look at our schedule, and we're still more talented than at least, and I mean at minimum, 6 teams on our schedule. Those should all be wins. I mean, if this guy can coach a lick, you beat the teams you have more talent than. Do you agree?
That's the goal.
Well, we haven't had that in a while, I guess.
Right.
That's a question for you guys. When was the last time we beat a team that had more talent than us? Clearly, clearly more talent than us.
Pretty sure it was Auburn.
Yeah.
And I bet that was close.
3 years ago.
Yeah, it was like one or two.
If you want to say clearly more talent, like just a big old upset, I have no idea. What's our
South Carolina 13?
Yeah, probably. That one stands out. Yep. That was a good team.
Jadeveon Clowney, right?
Yep.
That was a good football team they had that year. But again, clearly more talent. It's hard to say that for Tennessee because it recruits itself. That's the thing that I have a little bit of hope about for Josh Heupel is that Tennessee can recruit itself enough that he can get enough players and they can be successful. I mean, they have highly rated recruits at every single position still. Mm-hmm. Even though we've lost players, they have highly rated recruits at those positions. If nothing else, take them and coach them up and get to 6 wins. If we get to 6 wins, is everybody going to be happy? Or are there going to be people that are legitimately pissed?
Nah, they'll be happy.
If you ask me right now, would I take 6 or roll the dice? I'm probably going to roll the dice, but I would not be upset with a 6-win season.
Wow. So you think that Tennessee can win considerably more than 6 games?
No, I think they can win 7 or 8. I think it's possible. Again, I'm not necessarily predicting that. I look at the schedule. I mean, our toughest out of
Florida's an L, Missouri's an L.
I'm not ready to say Missouri's an L.
Alabama's an L. What? Are you serious?
Why? That was like the one team we drug last year.
I just think they'll have more talent on the field than we will, ironically.
Well,
because they haven't lost anybody, and they picked up. I mean, they've done a pretty good job recruiting. Okay, so how about this? Florida's an L. Ole Miss is an L. I think we'll all agree on that.
I think that game could be a shootout that you could possibly win. Again, I'm not necessarily saying I predict them to win all of these games. I just think it's, I want to see some ball.
Okay. Well, maybe we should outlay toss up games. I don't want to sit here and go through the whole schedule. Pitt, Missouri, South Carolina, and Kentucky. That's your toss up games, right?
And Ole Miss, like we said, yeah, all those.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I said that. Yep. I don't know, guys. If we get to 6, I'm going to be pretty happy. As far as the basketball team's concerned, if we get to the round of 32, is it a successful year? No, but that's about what we can hope for right now. So optimism Tuesday. Let's support the baseball balls, and at least we got spring training going on. Guys, have a great day.
Thanks,
Berto. Would you take 6 right now or roll the dice?
Take 6.
Same.
I'm just afraid they get 5 and 7, and I'd rather them go 6. I don't know. Are we going to be on a bowl ban? If we're going to be on a bowl ban, I'll just roll the dice because 5 and 7, 6 and 6, same damn difference to me. Only reason I want the bowl game is just for practice.
Mm.
And just so that Heupel can be like, look, see, I'm pretty good.
How does that work if you're on a bowl ban but qualify for a bowl? Do you still get the practices?
Good question. I don't know. They need to start figuring all that out.
Fascinating.
Give me 6.
Ye of little faith in this room on the Tuesday of optimism. Disappointing.
Is South Carolina really a toss-up, though? Because I feel like that's a game that we go into as a favorite.
I don't think. I mean,
if you're going to count those other ones as a chance you can win, it's just the opposite. It's like, yeah, they could beat you, but you should beat them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you just throw all of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Every year there's wins and losses that completely surprise people.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. I kind of like widening that net and just saying, you're not going to win all of these, probably, and you're not going to lose them all, probably, but let's just cast everything that could happen kind of in all those middle games together.
Right.
Which is Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss in conference, Pitt out of conference. I might have missed one, but
I don't think so.
And that's 5 right there. You got the 2 that you're definitely going to win unless –
3, I would think, right? Bowling Green, South Alabama, Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, sorry, 3. Yeah, easy schedule.
Mm.
And then you've got – so I'm at 8. What's that 4th one then? I mean, you got Alabama, Georgia, Florida. Who am I missing? That's 11.
Kentucky? Did you say Kentucky?
I thought so. Kentucky, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Missouri.
Vanderbilt. That's a win.
There's also the homecoming game. So, I don't know who that is.
Alabama. It's one of those 3. So I got 4 – definite wins. Vandy and the 3 really bad teams.
So can you win 2 out of 8 to get to 6 and 6? Yeah, I think you can. Right?
Yeah, I mean, 3 of those are going to be really tough. There's 5. Can you go 2 and 3 in those 5 games?
I would think so.
that includes South Carolina. I mean, that's like he's saying, like Alex is saying, that should be a win.
Yeah, I think I don't think South Carolina's going to be very good at all. And Missouri, we'll see.
Then Kentucky, Pitt. I mean, you could beat South Carolina and Pitt. That might be it. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's your six.
Or you could, you know, win them all. Maybe go 9-3.
I mean, they're probably going to go 5-7, 6-6, or 7-5.
Hell, why stop there? 10-2.
Ball bounces the right way.
Florida lost a lot. Maybe it's just Georgia and Bama. Maybe they're so, I don't know. Dare to dream, boys. Dare to dream.
That is crazy, though. Basically, what Roberto said, like, you probably haven't beaten a superior talented team since October the 19th, 2013. That's great. That is nuts.
And that was a pretty fluky game.
Oh yeah, they played awful.
They laid an absolute egg, and we played the field position game and kept pinning them back, and somehow John Jancic, God love him, never let them get past the 20, except that deep shot they took to, was that Damir Bird on the post?
I mean, it's crazy. They lost to Georgia on the road, second game of the year, 41-30, and that was their only other loss the entire season, was Tennessee. That is nuts.
Because Mark Wisnorth caught the one-handed catch down the sideline. Jason tweets in and says, if you can average 35 to 40 points a game, you'll be in 10 games next year.
I mean, you might be in 10. You might still lose five of them.
Roberto tweets in and says, Bazelak is why Missouri is an L in his book. Was he that good after he played us?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Depends on the game. I thought they had some games where they kind of won surprisingly, but then they had some games they dropped.
I mean, he looked good against us when he came in. He also, in my opinion, got a little bit lucky.
I also remember him looking good against LSU, but that's not saying much.
Let's check out the game log for Bazelak. I mean, he didn't even throw a touchdown against us. He threw a pick. He threw for, 400.
But you have to look at his game against us, like, kind of a situation where, like, our game against them was, like, the last good game we played. Like, it was his first game ever. Like, he did so much better the second half of the season. I'm not ready to crown him great, but I think he's going to be a solid SEC quarterback.
He threw 7 touchdowns last year.
In what? That would have been 7 games? Or
no, he played in 10 games.
Like, well, I know, but, like, I don't think he threw a touchdown before he played us. He didn't throw one
like
in our
games.
Threw 7 touchdowns on the season. He threw 4 against LSU when their defense was awful. So outside of the LSU game, he threw 3 touchdowns on the season.
Here's how Missouri did the rest of the way. They went to LSU and won 45-41.
Mm-hmm.
Then they beat Kentucky.
He had a really good game against LSU. He was 29 of 34 for 406 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was really good. That was when LSU's defense was also complete trash.
They beat Kentucky 20-10 at home. Then they went on the road to Florida and got hammered 41-17. They beat South Carolina on the road 17-10. Not exactly lighting up the scoreboard there. 41-0 over Vandy. 50-48 win against Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. He had a good game there, but didn't throw a touchdown or an interception.
Then they lost the last two regular season games, 49-14 against Georgia and 51-32 at Mississippi State.
He threw 2 touchdowns in that game. The guy threw touchdowns in 3 games. He had 3 games where he threw a touchdown.
I mean, as I look at that schedule with Missouri, I'm thinking, yeah, we might struggle to stop them, but hopefully we can light them up.
Mm-hmm.
If like this game will be in the 40s, both teams maybe.
Mm-hmm. Probably with Ole Miss as well. That's why I'm just like, I'm not sitting here trying to say trust Heupel. I don't know. I'm just saying, I mean, if we can score a little bit, like Missouri does not scare me. South Carolina certainly doesn't scare me. Obviously Vanderbilt doesn't scare. Ole Miss scares me just because I know they can score. I guess I'm just not. I know Missouri got better after we played them and we got way worse, but I still don't think they were some, elite team. They beat Kentucky. We should have beaten Kentucky. They beat South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. They beat Arkansas on a last-second field goal. Don't fear Missouri. Optimism Tuesday. Got to be better than that. This is Tennessee. Even though Sam Horn has wanted to go there for a long time.
I'll give you some more thoughts on that. On the flip side, also that whole stadium thing and college football. I want to get back to Billy Wilford's question from a while back, end of hour one. Come back. Stick with us. More college football talk on 3&Out. No. Should I stay or should I go? A couple of thoughts as we talk college football. It's always tease, tease, tease. It's interesting, those teams kind of in the that jostle around in the middle of the SEC East.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina. I mean, Vanderbilt's usually at the bottom. They cycle up into the middle sometimes, but usually Vandy's at the bottom. Usually Florida, Georgia, Tennessee are at the top. Recently, it's been more Florida, Georgia at the top, Tennessee in the middle with the rest, and they've all just kind of jostled around. But the reason those games are will always be winnable if you kind of are able to find some guys that can play well together and package your team the right way is because Tennessee's recruiting floor, even when they don't recruit well, is the same as those teams. I mean, somebody was asking me, like, how do you think the lines will be this year on the offense and defense for Tennessee? I was like, and they might be slightly worse than...
I swear I think the offensive line will be better.
Some of the Missouri... Well, I was going to compare them to Missouri, Kentucky, and mm-hmm. South Carolina. Okay. I feel like they'll be, from a talent standpoint, about the same as those teams usually are. It's just usually Tennessee's a little better than those teams from a talent standpoint. We've just underachieved so much that in a lot of years we lose one or two out of those three games. And sometimes one of those three teams is a lot better than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a tougher game. It just depends on the year. But typically Tennessee can just recruit the same as Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina without even trying. Even in their worst years, it's going to be the same. So that's why those games are always 50-50s at worst. If not, I mean, occasionally you'll have... I mean, back in that time period we were talking about when Butch was kind of getting started here... Like Missouri and South Carolina were a whole lot better, and Kentucky was really bad. This year, like South Carolina's gonna be really bad, and Kentucky might be a good bit better, and Missouri will be kind of in the middle. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not really sure how good Missouri will be this year, but that's why those teams are always in the middle in terms of where you are in the season. These games will be tough. These games should be definite wins. These games, who knows? Even as you rebuild, should have a chance to win them. But then to the back to the stadium topic, you know, Billy asked a good question. It's like Alabama hasn't sold out their stadium for all of their games, even as they win a bunch of championships. With the fact that as the coronavirus, you know, hopefully is kind of continues to lessen as vaccines roll out, and no matter what your risk tolerance is on that, I think everyone admits it's getting better. I mean, the numbers across the board are down, and you got vaccines,
mm-hmm.
and there's more hope, I guess, that it's burning out in both ways, because people have had it and they're getting vaccinated. Even if you are able to go to full capacity, like, will people even – I mean, there were tickets available for Tennessee games this year. I don't know how many of those people that didn't want to come to a game this year were because of coronavirus, were because Tennessee was losing, was just because of coronavirus, they hadn't made plans. But if they could have made plans before, it wasn't that they were necessarily scared of coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't make plans, so they just didn't then come from out of this area. Or was it just the team was bad? Like, if Tennessee's team had been really good this year, would it have been packed out, at least to whatever the limited capacity was? I don't know. And then Davey asked a question in the break, kind of not even knowing where I was taking that, but it's kind of similar, like, with sports gambling now. Is the sports gambling on college sports going to do to college sports what fantasy football did to the NFL years ago? Where the NFL has benefited greatly by people that aren't fans of specific teams still watching those games because they have fantasy football implications. I used to never would watch a Cardinals-Raiders game. But now if I got Kyler Murray in my big money league, you
mm-hmm.
know, I'm living and dying with every play.
Right.
I mean, college football could... benefit from that in some ways because, you know, you got money on Vandy, Missouri, you might be right there on the edge of your seat. Whereas before, you'd be like, ah, yeah, I'll check the score in the morning. It might lessen the in-stadium experience, though. It might, there might be over time people that are like, ah, I'd just rather stay home. That way I can see all the games. Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch the Tennessee game. I'm a Tennessee fan. But I don't want to miss, you know, Auburn, LSU. I got money on LSU. I think they're going to, you know, win or whatever. I don't want to miss it. There's some of that already just because people enjoy the whole sport. But with sports gambling, it might make that even more of a thing.
I mean, obviously, I think people with – I mean, any other interest is going to take away from your desire to go to a game. Like if you've got, oh, I got to watch this game to see if I, you know, win my – yeah, I mean, it's just the same way with HDTV and, you know, cell phones where you can keep up with the game. I mean, yeah, like – and I think that's why you're seeing so many stadiums say, well, maybe we do need the right size. Or the smart ones have said, we don't need to do that, but let's make sure that, you know, we have good Wi-Fi in the stadium so that people can be on their phones, can be checking Twitter or their bets while they're – and that's what's weird to me about Tennessee. There used to be in one corner of the stadium, they would just rotate through other college games and scores.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even during a break – some stadiums will play other games or, like, you know, right. A highlight of another game or something. And Tennessee's just never done that. And they don't even give the scores to other games anymore.
Well, they do. They still give the scores in that little corner right there on the
sidebar. They are doing it again? They used to do it,
it's just
like,
that
all
one
the time.
Side. They used to, I will admit, they used to be better at it. And it would constantly just be updating. But I think it just goes to there's multiple factors kind of playing into it. Like the NFL, when you go to their games now, they realize how important fantasy football is. So they're constantly giving updates as far as like what individual players are doing across the league while the game is going on.
Right. Right.
And I mean, I wish college, at least Tennessee, I don't know what a lot of other schools are doing, would kind of get more in line. There were times like, I mean, during halftime where they would actually give, granted, I didn't go to a game during COVID, but they would give the highlights of other games around the SEC, and it would just be something to watch. Now, they weren't having the – correct me if – they didn't have the band on the field this year, right?
No.
Okay. So they need to do something – they're going to have to make the experience better, especially while the product on the field is not good, and hopefully Danny White realizes that. Hopefully he's willing to make some changes because I don't think Fulmer really took that into account. He wasn't one to think of, all right, well, how am I going to make this experience better for the fans? He was, I mean, as we came to realize, like, he's been stuck in the 90s for a while now. But
no, I doubt the in-stadium experience was anywhere close to the top of Fulmer's list.
Yeah.
Because he was going to fix football, remember?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Vividly. But like that's the thing. I need to see Tennessee realize that our product on the field is going to be rough for a little bit. So we need to allow other things to kind of help pick up the slack.
Well, if you can do some of those things while giving people at least enough hope to think it's getting better. Like, I don't think people need it to be, oh, back to 10-11 wins again. Yeah, we're compete for the East. But if they can just see it getting better, they get excited. People are willing to wait if they believe that it'll get back there eventually.
That's the problem. We just haven't had a lot of evidence to support that it's on its way to getting better.
Have they reached out as far as season tickets and how much those are going to be costing for 2021?
I haven't seen anything. Houston would know.
I can check.
Some feedback from Twitter. It says, no chance at 6 wins unless Heupel can find a way to get his offense clicking early. The defense is going to give up a ton this season. If the offense can find a way to score points against the bad teams on our schedule, then we could be 6 wins. You could get 6 wins there. Somebody else said, 6 means you beat Pitt and the other 3 scrubs out of conference. Then Vandy and either Ole Miss, Kentucky, or Missouri. Beating Ole Miss seems kind of hilarious, though. And then, like we said, you look at the schedule. There's Bowling Green, Tennessee Tech, South Alabama, and Vanderbilt. That's four. You got to think. I mean, you got to beat South Carolina. I would feel like if you want to kind of
that has to happen.
I mean, that's five. And then you got Pitt, Missouri, and Kentucky. You got to win one of those. That's six. If you win two, you go 7-5 most likely, and that's losing to Ole Miss with Florida, Georgia, Alabama. So that's your four losses, one more to play with to be at five. And yeah, I mean, I think you're going 5-7 to 7-5. That's the range I feel like.
7-5, ball bounces the right way. 8-4. You don't like it?
I mean, if you go 4-8, it's a
4-8 would be
5-7 is disappointing. 4-8 is a bad season. Again, doesn't mean you fire a coach after you say that he's never going to be good.
Right.
But it's a bad season. 4-8 is bad. 5-7 is disappointing. 6-6 is okay. 7-5 is a big positive. 8-4 is like, whoa. There you go.
There you go.
Be nice to be 3-0 going to Florida. I mean, you got the Pitt one under your belt already. Taking care of business in the other
two.
This
place, that's not that far out of the realm of possibility, right? Like, do we really think we can't beat Pitt?
No, I think we can beat them. I mean, right now, if you had to ask who I think would win the game, I'd probably put money on Pitt. I feel like they're returning a good bit. 2 years, or 2018, I believe it was, Heupel and UCF beat them 45-14. And then the next year, Pitt won. So I think Heupel's 2018 UCF team is more talented than what we're going to have this year. So just kind of putting those in together. I mean, I would say Tennessee would probably be favored by about 3.5 points if they were to meet on a neutral field right now.
Against Pitt?
Yeah. Just because, I mean, again, that's where they kind of set the line. I think just the prestige, I mean, it's the Pitt Panthers. They don't exactly get people excited, and they understand Tennessee fans typically move the line. So, but I would take Pitt to cover that.
Can you name one player on Pitt's team?
Nope.
Okay. Just check.
I think it's just straight toss-up. I have no idea. I mean, they're usually pretty good on defense.
But I bet you,
kind of funny.
If I didn't cover Tennessee, I doubt a Pitt person could name a player on Tennessee's team.
Perhaps. I'm just saying, it's just weird that we're like, oh, yeah, we're definitely losing to that team. I don't know a thing about them.
No, I don't think anyone's saying, yeah, it's definitely a loss.
He's just saying if he had to pick, I'd just flip a coin at this point. I have no idea. Crucial game early. I like it.
It is a... I mean, they're all crucial, I guess, right? Like, anyone that's not Florida, Georgia, or Alabama is, like, a crucial game. But, yeah, if you can be 3-0 going into the Swamp and, you know, don't just embarrass yourself into a laughingstock, yeah, I mean, that'd be an amazing start.
Yep, we'll come back with more. Stick with us. More Hour 2 next. One of the things we love about betting on basketball is you can always find new player props and put them in a same-game parlay with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That's right, FanDuel. They've got the same-game parlay. Maybe you've been hearing about it. Like, which site is that again? It's FanDuel. Same-game parlay. You can put so many NBA options together as well each and every night. Go with your favorite player. First basket score, point spread, assists, three-pointers, steals, blocks, whatever stat you want to roll with. And right now, new and existing users both can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. Make sure you opt into that on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're new, use our promo code 3OUT to sign up. We love it. You will too. It's promo code 3OUT that lets them know we sent you to the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code 3OUT. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Jay on the horn. What's up, buddy? You're on 3 and out.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, you know, Danny White is going to have a lot of things on his plate, obviously, but I think one of those things is going to be, it'll be eventually brought up again, is renovations to Neyland Stadium. What do y'all think about, I mean, obviously we need, there's renovations that need to be had there, but what, how do y'all feel about us kind of cutting down our capacity and dropping below 100,000 and kind of losing that that marker of being one of the few, you know, I don't know, six or seven stadiums in the country that have that. How do y'all feel about that? Is that tradition here now? I mean, I consider it tradition, but what do y'all think about that?
I would like to keep it above 100,000.
I would too.
It's just, I don't know. Like, once you get there, going backwards doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Does it mean anything, though, if you never put 100,000 people in it?
I mean, buddy, we're like two wins away from being able to do that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, we suck. That's why we're not doing it.
Right. I agree.
As a fan, I would like to keep it over 100,000, but if I'm an administrator that doesn't have that tied to the university, financially, I think it'd be make more sense to downsize.
Well, what? Because I think 100,000, right, the 100,000 plus is a thing that makes Neyland. I mean, it's part of what makes it, when it's rolling. I mean, like that Oklahoma game, for example, it's what makes it what it is. What number can we drop to and still be, quote-unquote, Neyland Stadium? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the lowest number that we can drop to and say, yeah, this is still Neyland Stadium? That's what I was wondering.
I don't really think a number has that much of an impact on that.
Can we still be Neyland Stadium? That's what I'm saying. I don't think you can.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, obviously the name's not going to change. It just wouldn't feel right.
Like 90. You know, I feel like if you had to get rid of 12,000 seats to make it a better experience and you still had 90,000 people, I mean, for me, the number, I like the idea of 100,000, don't get me wrong, being 100,000 plus, but if you drop 12,000 seats because you put in new luxury boxes somewhere or made a cool whatever, like it wouldn't bother me. But I can see why it would bother some people.
I like right now the idea of like actually having a seat back, like an actual foldable seat, not that bad of an idea.
But if you do that like in the whole stadium, you're going to be like, yeah, whatever, like, I mean, like 78, 80, I don't know.
At this point, like, I'm just sitting down the entire time anyway. Might as well get comfortable.
We got it. Dave, we got an exciting offense coming to Knoxville now, man.
You're going to want to stand up, Dave.
Yeah, I'm sure. On the edge of
my
seat.
It'll be interesting, guys. I mean, we've had two different rollouts. Curry rolled out his renovation plans, and then Fulmer rolled out his. They look completely different. So is White just going to roll out? I wonder how White's going to handle that.
He'll have his own thing. He'll want to do something a little bit different. I'm sure. My guess is, though, if you start talking to donors, they're going to be like, "Don't you dare drop this under 100,000."
I hope not, man. I really hope they. I hope they Haslam and all them kind of draw the line in the sand and say that you can't do that.
Well, it's not like Danny's going to listen to him.
Maybe. Money talks, though.
Apparently not.
Money talks.
What?
Hey, guys, real quick
we had money to go get a good coach. They didn't do that.
Yeah. Hey, real quick on the basketball team, guys, why don't we go and get some of these mid-major guys that can shoot the lights out? They get in the tournament and they beat our brains in. They hit 33s a game. And, you know, we need some guys that can shoot the three. And I've always said that. I even said that when Pearl was here. Pearl changed his philosophy when he got to Auburn. They started shooting more threes. But I never understood. Go get you a guy like Lee Humphrey. Go find a guy, one or two. You know, Chris Lofton, I mean, my God, he was going to Arkansas State, I think, or something like that. I mean, go find a guy. He may not be highly recruited, but he can work within your offense. You probably need two of them that can shoot the three. There's guys that like Creighton and Drake and these Loyola Chicago that would just, you know, can just fill it up from three. We need a couple guys like that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They may not be McDonald's All-Americans, but they can fit within your offensive scheme and they would open it up because we could finally shoot the three. I mean, we talk about big guys, and we maybe need a big guy, but we can't shoot the three. I mean, we just – people know how to defend us, and we can't shoot the three. You get a guy like a Lee Humphrey or somebody like that, it opens up your offense. And you know, maybe we not – you know, the McDonald's All-Americans are nice, but if you got McDonald's All-Americans that can't shoot, it doesn't matter.
Thanks for the call. I mean,
Vescovi could shoot the three.
Yeah,
we just don't really put him in the best position to do that.
We do have a team, though, where it's not built in a way that kind of all makes sense fitting together. It's almost like we were recruiting certain guys, just kind of grabbed who we could get,
yep.
And then all of a sudden we get these two studs, and they don't really fit with the other guys. We have no point guards. We have no centers.
It's not as well-rounded as it could be.
There you go.
You got to surround those McDonald's All-Americans with guys like Jay's talking about, with shooters, so then they have options to kick it out to when their game is solely penetration, like Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson.
But, I mean, we do have
Victor Bailey and Vescovi.
But for whatever reason, Vescovi hasn't been hitting many shots.
And Bailey's just been hot and cold.
And they've asked Bailey to play some point, which is weird. Like, just, you got, I mean, you really need another point guard. Like, one of the guys that's on the bench that's not contributing, if that player wasn't here and he had a true point guard on this team
mm-hmm.
to play point and run the show, that even was just an average 3-point shooter but was more of a tempo distributor guy, then you subbed out one of those big guys that can't do anything for a big guy that could at five, this team would be perfect.
If you guys had to choose between another shooter, like an elite 3-point shooter, a point guard, and a big man, who would you choose for this team?
It's a good question. We'll tell you next.
Yeah.
Final segment, hour number two. I think we've done a pretty good job on Optimism Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
So far, crushing.
One of our best in recent weeks, for sure.
I just want Neyland Stadium to be back because we're good. Could care less how many seats there are. Let's just put.
Oh come
put
on!
Fannies in
it
them.
Matters. There's only seven. There are seven. Only seven, six-digit stadiums in all of college football.
All right.
Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, A&M, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. All of those other schools have won fairly big recently. One outlier: the 102-455. We are just ahead of LSU and Alabama.
I don't know how many people are in Death Valley, LSU. It's still Death Valley. It's still Saturday night in Death Valley. To me, the number doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame, that's a historic stadium. It's 80,000.
I don't know. Like, if you ask an LSU fan how many people are in Neyland Stadium, they would probably know it's about 100 or a little more. But I don't know that, like, I think that might be something we just hold on to that's not really important. I mean,
it's like an unimportant, important thing. Okay. Like, you want to be one of the 100,000 seat stadiums, I think. I do. And then when you're good and demand is high, it's a great, great environment.
Okay.
You just got to get good. I would not worry about the size of the stadium until you are really, really, really good. And if you're really good and not filling it up, then maybe look at downsizing. But taking recent attendance and saying, oh, yeah, the stadium doesn't look as full, well, that's because your football product has been garbage. Fix the product, fans will show up, especially after this long of being so bad.
Right.
I mean, if this team,
people are dying.
If this program can get right, people are going to be dying to get to games. Just got to do that thing where you fix football, you know?
I am interested to see how just the landscape of college football changes in general post-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Just sports in general.
I mean, I'm not stating my opinion one way or another as far as, like, what the attendance should be, but I just know, like, the way some people treat this pandemic, there's going to be some people that don't want to go. And, I mean, I just personally, like, I've enjoyed the at-home experience so much more. But then again, I'm a degenerate gambler, so that is easier to keep up with when I'm on the couch or sitting in here getting ready for voluntary reaction.
It's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
But
I won't argue that.
But let's say that more and more people don't want to go to games. I would imagine they lower the price, and that just opens up opportunities for people who do and would want to go to games.
Did you just say you imagine they lower the price?
Yeah, I mean, if they can't fill the stadium. I mean, they've already done that, Davey. They've already said, here's the Vol Pass for, you know, a couple $100.
They also said, we want to keep your money and give you basically
nothing
in return.
Well, of course they did. They had to say that. I mean, it was stupid. I'm glad I didn't do it, but naturally. But they have lowered ticket prices. Not necessarily, you know, season lower level ticket prices, but the Vol Pass was like a new thing, what, 3 or 4 years ago? You could go to every game for like $25 a game. Your seat would change. It'd be upper deck. But, I mean, that used to, you just had to go buy face value at the ticket office. So they've already, in a way, lowered prices to get more people in, mm-hmm. which I would imagine that continues, especially if demand is down. But the first thing they have to do is just, you know, put a product on the field that isn't junk. Hopefully a scary smart Josh Heupel will be the
scary
guy to do
smart.
It.
Scary smart, yep, scary smart.
Get some recruits, too. That'd be good. Just one recruit. One commit would be neat.
I do wonder, though, like, people had a year. I mean, take Tennessee out of the equation. People had a year at Alabama, for example, of not going to games.
Mm-hmm.
Is the follow-up going to be, man, I miss going to those Alabama football games. I'm going to be at every one now. I cherish those memories of tailgating and being at the game and can't wait to be back. Oh, they're going full capacity. Yes, I will be there. And you're kind of back to normal with that momentum, or is it?
I think it'll go both ways. Some people will say, you know what? Man, I saved a lot of money and enjoyed the games. Yeah. And yeah, I think it'll go both ways.
So you think there'll be new people?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Just funny.
What? You don't think so? I mean, like,
no,
people.
No, I heard new people. New people. Mm. What do you mean, new people? New people. What do you mean, new people?
I think there'll be new people. And I think there'll be a lot of, you know, man, I was a season ticket holder for 10 years and I'm not going back.
I think there'll be new people at places that market and do it right.
Exactly.
I think if you don't try and attract any new fans, and Tennessee's behind the eight ball because the wins and the losses do not say,
right,
come be a new fan at Tennessee.
Well, that's why, you know, I realize he wasn't the flashiest name on the board, but, I mean, his offense is going to be exciting. Like, it is an attractive offense to watch when it gets clicking. And I think that's something that people would want to show up for. So, like, that's smart. And I agreed with, you know, what Davey said earlier. Like, the in-stadium experience needs to be ramped up a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't – we need to get rid of a lot of the cheese because, frankly, some of the stuff we do is about as cheesy as it gets.
They honestly need – I mean, they really, not to make Houston's head grow too much today, but they really need people in like Houston's age that know the old, that grew up all Tennessee, that can remember the glory days, but still can relate with like younger, like that bridge between like Davey's mm-hmm. age and the people that are 15 to 20 years mm-hmm. older than you. You know what I mean? To say, hey, to run that by and go, hey, how do you think this will feel?
Right.
Because it feels like right now they either have super young people saying, oh, this will be cool, hitting a bunch of weird buttons, or they got really old people saying, well, we have to do this. We've always done it that way.
Right, right.
And they need to kind of meld those two together in a way that makes the older generation feel like it's still Neyland Stadium, we're still old school and traditional, but allows the younger generation to have the things Davey's talking about where you enhance the stadium experience without being stupid, cheesy, you know, third down for what type crap.
Third down for what slapped. I don't know what you're talking about.